think it is chapter 9, it talks about the conversion of Paul. And it talks about, you know, how the Spirit of the Lord, you know, came in and how he changed his life. And we're going to see, you know, the Apostle Paul, this man amazes me. This man amazes me. Now, for many, many years, not lately, but years ago, I often thought of Paul as being one of the disciples. Because he's so relevant in Scripture, I mean, in the New Testament, you know, he wrote many, many books of the New Testament. Without him, we'd only have half of what's in there in the New Testament. But this man wasn't a disciple as far as the original. We're all disciples of God, yes. But as the original 12 or 13, whatever, however you want to look at it. But he wasn't one of them at all. But God chose this man. He was a really religious man, and he would go after Christians. And really, he thought he was doing the work of God. And I want to read, look at in Acts chapter 9. Andrew, I don't think you have this scripture. That's okay.
You could just go like that.
Just a few things and we'll go on. It says this in verse 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters from Damascus to the synagogues, if he found any of his way," we're talking about Christians, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven." Now, we'll stop there and read a few. Here we see Paul had threatenings. I mean, he was threatening the Christians. Now, you know, you might say, well, were the Christians scared? Well, probably so. You know, here they were. They had seen all kinds of things. And Paul was coming to Damascus to get these Christians, to bring them over, you know, to be locked away because he didn't like them. And we know the story where the power of God, as he was riding and coming, the power of God came, shined upon him. That was just the power of God. He fell off that horse, and he went to the street called Straight. And it says that Ananias came to him and prayed over him, and the scales came off of his eyes, and he started to preach the gospel. The power of God came upon him. And it says this in verse 17 of that same scripture, talking about Ananias. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul," that means he was saved, got saved when he fell off the horse and called on Jesus, "the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto you in the way as you have come, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Now here we see the great God Jehovah doing a mighty miracle in this man's life. The mightiest miracle is not so much the scales falling off of his eyes physically, but the scales falling off of his eyes spiritually. He saw God.
Amen.
And God changed his life. You see? And that's what we need to preach about, the Christ that can change people's lives spiritually from death to life. That God can give where there's no freedom and where there's only bondage, that God can give freedom and health and healing to a people. Preaching what Jesus can do. He saw the power of God spiritually, because for 3 days he laid in that bed blind. Now, I've never been blind, but I'm sure that's hard. Can you imagine going from seeing everything to not being able to see at all, totally blind? That has to be rough for 3 days, not knowing what would happen. You know, we read the story and we know what God did. But after the first day, I wonder what he thought as he's laying in his bed, what's going to happen to me? And I know he's calling on God. I would be calling on God, and I know he was calling on God because he called on him when he fell off the horse or donkey, whatever he was riding, horse. Called upon him, and the power of God was there. but how God can change people's lives. And you see, the fervency that Paul had in persecuting the Christians is the fervency that he had in winning souls for the kingdom of God. Winning souls for the kingdom of God. A true change in their spirit. A true acceptance of the Father into their lives. And here we see God changed him. Changed him. You know, Paul went through many difficult times. You know, I know in witnessing years ago, I changed things now lately, well, the last couple of years. But in witnessing to people, I'd often say years ago, you know, well, you know, you give your heart to the Lord, everything's going to change. I mean, it's going to be the best. I've changed that. Because I know, even as Christians, we're going to go through some hard, hard times. It's true, always. I know it. It's going to be some rough times there. So I've changed it. I just said, you know, if you accept the Lord, heaven's your home. And Jesus will be there for you at all times. And he will help you to get through whatever difficulty there is in your life. That God will be there for you. We may not like what he does. We may not like how he does it. But we have to accept who he is and accept his plan. And let me tell you, Paul didn't realize that as he accepted the Father, that the difficult things that he would have to go through, yet he still had courage in his heart and life to live for him throughout his life. Now, look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, as believers, we are called to follow Christ's example of endurance through hardship, people. Cindy, I know Cindy's here. It's so good to see you. So good to have you here, you know. I know everybody goes through hardships of hard times. And I know Cindy has gone through, you know, everybody knows she has had cancer, has cancer. And, you know, that's not easy. That's not easy. But everybody goes through hardships. And I know many a times I've cried and said, Lord, do a mighty work. Do a mighty work. But I just want to let you know we're praying for you. And we love you. And as a church, we pray for you. Whatever outcome, heaven's our home. Amen. Amen. But God is God. But you know, everyone goes through hardships, the endurance through hardships. Giving up doesn't fit who we are in Christ. Despite mistreatment, rejection, conflict, discouragement, loneliness, and seemingly insurmountable problems. The Lord wants us to choose to persevere until he redirects us. We have to come to a place as Christians that we have such endurance on the inside of us and a courage that the devil knows that no matter what comes about our way, that we will serve God to the best of our ability. Amen. Now, I can only speak for the American Christian church, because I've been to Mexico once or twice or so, but you know that's about it. But I've noticed, and even in my life, that when hardships come, whatever they may be, could be a financial problem, marriage problem, physical problem, whatever it may be. That as for the most part, We lack endurance and courage to keep on going. I've seen so many casualties, if you want to say it that way, where they once served God and just left God. Now, I've also seen many things that have happened to Christians where they've gotten stronger on the inside. Like Paul did. See, we need to be a church where whatever happens or comes our way, that our feet are firmly planted in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ, what He did at Calvary's cross, that we stand firm and not let go of Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't bow our heads at times and say, Lord, I don't understand. Or, I don't understand what's going on. But not to let our faith waver in the things of God. That we are firmly planted as like an oak tree. We shouldn't be like the pine tree. You know, when heavy wind comes or hurricanes come our way. I know I had an old neighbor that told me, he said, you know, he said, I'm glad I have oak trees in my yard. I said, oh, they're beautiful trees. He's passed away. But he said, I wouldn't want any pine trees. And I said, oh, you know. He said, you know, every time a hurricane or big winds come, you can hear the branches just breaking. He said, you can hear it. But he said, those oak trees, most of the time, will stand strong. And as Christians of the living God, living for Him, that we need to be like oak trees. Yes, it may take a long time for it to grow. And it's not the fastest growing tree on the outside. But the roots of that oak tree go far, far deep into the ground. That it is anchored deep within the soil or the soil of that earth. And so we need to be Christians that are anchored deep with the Word of God, deep with the Spirit of God, deep with our relationship with God, deep knowing the Word of God, deep with the things of God. That the Father can speak to us. That whatever's going on in our lives, that we stand firm. That doesn't mean that we don't waver. That oak tree moves some when that wind's blowing. It does move. But most of the time, it's not rooted out. It stands firm. And we need to have that endurance to stand firm. And don't let the devil steal from you the blessings that God has given unto you or wants to give to you. That we stand firm and we say, Lord, my faith is in You and You alone. And You're going to lead me and guide me, helping us stand strong and be what God wants us to be. 2 Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man, they called him young, that Paul was grooming to preach the Word of God and to do what God wanted him to do. And this is what he wrote to him, and I thought it was so interesting. Look at verse 1, please, starting there. Now, remember, Paul is writing to him. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living, and the dead. It refers to all believers shall be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and His appearing in His kingdom. This is what he tells him. Timothy, preach the word. It's an amazing statement. I mean, he's saying, Timothy, I want to encourage you. Preach the word. I told you like this many, many times. I said, the reason our country is in the state that it's in is because of the lack of preaching of the word of God, the true word of God from the pulpit. And when it doesn't come from the pulpit, the people don't see it. And when the people don't see it, they will accept anything that comes down the pike. And so he's telling Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's a whole other message right there. And they shall turn away, God bless you. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. It will come. I know we think, and I know we've been years and years of, and I'm going to say this word, please, a bull that has come down that we believe we won't go through afflictions. That is not truth. It's not truth. We will go as Christians through a lot of things and a lot of hard things at times. But this is the deal. We stand planted and firm upon God. That oak tree is standing firm. Standing firm. The winds come and push this way. We stand firm. The wind comes and push this way. We stand firm. The wind comes from the other side. We stand firm. The wind comes from the front and the back. We stand firm. Afflictions will come. Yeah, it does. I know we don't like to hear it. I don't want to hear it sometimes, but it will come. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, have finished the course, and have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, amen, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. But not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. Now, you know, Timothy read this letter, and I don't know if he was encouraged or helped. I knew he was helped, but encouraged so much, but he knew that things would be coming his way. His way. You know, one thing, Paul, that astonishes me is that the Apostle Paul always knew that God was with him. God was with him. And it's an amazing thing to me. As I talk with just Christians, you know, Christians in general, they may be going through a hard time, and a lot of times what they'll say is, basically like, I don't know if God is there, or if God cares about me. And you have to understand, that's like, you know, remember the little Pac-Man thing, the little game? That's just eating away your faith in God. And it's not easy. But it's not easy when you're going through difficult times to say, oh, Lord, do you really care? Do you know I'm here? Let me remind you. This is where I live. This is my phone number, my email address, everything. Just let you know. Whatever you want to do, help me, you know. But you see, the devil will come in with doubt and try to eat away our faith in God, our faith in Him. Because if He can destroy our faith in Him, He has half of the battle won. Because we give all up all hope. We say there's no hope. We give up on that. And when that is gone, that's gone from our lives. And the devil can come in and put things in our minds and hearts that makes us doubt anything that God has ever done in our hearts and in our lives. And we know God has helped us and provided for us and has been there for us. And I'm sure not trying to get to a place where we think, well, you know, the devil can do anything. No, God will allow certain things because God is in control. But we should never believe that we won't go through hardships or things that are hard upon us. Because the Apostle Paul, a man that wrote so many books of the New Testament, went through so many hard times. Look at this. Turn to Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. But the power of God we can never deny. Look at this. Look at verse 22. Starting there. It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Now Paul is writing this. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In the labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent. Can you imagine? If you were thrown in prison today, I mean, you know, we kind of think, oh my Lord, you know. But this man thrown in prison, beaten many times, but not because he did anything wrong, people, but because of a stance of preaching the word of God and saying, thus saith the Lord. And death oft, and that means he was close to death many times, people, and God came in and saved him. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Can you imagine? Five times beaten, 39 stripes upon him, on his back, five times. I don't know any of us in here that I know of that has been beaten up lately for the gospel's sake. You know? But this man, five times beaten, 39 times, people. Twice was I beaten with rods, my God. I mean, just rods. Beaten. Once was I stoned. He was stoned, people. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. That means he was in the water, thinking he would die of drowning. In journeying often in perils of war, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, wilderness, the sea, and the false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watching often in hunger and thirst, in fasting and often in cold and nakedness. And all. Besides those things that are without, that which came upon me daily, the care of all the churches. People. Paul started many, many churches. He went through shipwreck, drowning, almost, beaten with rods, beaten five times with whips, 39 times each time, all kinds of stuff. Then he had the concern of taking care of the churches that he started. Many, many churches. You might say, what did he have to do? You look at the letters that he wrote to the churches because false prophets and false teachers would come in and start to teach false things that weren't true. And he had to counteract that after all he's going through in the midst of that. He had to take care of all of those churches. Am I painting a gloomy picture, kind of? This man went through a lot. Why did he go through all of this? For the gospel's sake. Why did he go through this? You might say, well, why would God allow this to happen? Well, you know, God knows what's inside of each of our hearts. And God will let certain things come our way so we can have a deep appreciation for God, and so we would humble ourselves before Him. This man went through many, many things for the gospel's sake. Are we better than Paul? I mean, we're blessed to live in a country where we don't have to worry about somebody coming in basically and telling us to get out and we can't worship. I didn't have to worry when I started this church by the power, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when we started it, that I didn't have to worry about would we be approved? Can we? I didn't have to go and ask approval of government officials. Not then. We just started doing what God wanted us to do and how God has blessed and moved upon us and changed things. It's easy to believe God. It's easy to believe God is with us when everything is fine. But when times are tough, we must cling to His truth so we won't become discouraged and give up. Too often people quit right before the Lord opens an opportunity, gives them victory, or changes a situation. And that's the truth. Don't give up. Paul stood the test of time. And we see many, many people coming to Christ because of his life. I know at times it gets difficult. It just does. I mean, we have to take care of family and all this and in ministry and then, you know, the enemy's out there just trying to do havoc. Then you gotta work and you gotta do all the things that need to be done. And then sometimes just difficult problems come our way. Don't ever let one single problem destroy your faith in you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't cry. That doesn't mean, you know, you don't lay before God and ask Him, I don't understand. That, I'm not saying any of that. But never lose your faith in God. Never lose your faith in who He is. Never lose your faith in what God can do. How great is your God that He's looking for a people, a church, men and women, boys and girls that will stand strong and believe Him for everything. That will stand strong and believe Him for who He is. Don't ever let anybody destroy your faith in God. Don't ever let any situation destroy your faith in God. Don't ever let any person destroy your faith in God. Don't ever let any situation that comes your way destroy your faith in God. Amen. And I know sometimes people make some horrible decisions and do some horrible things because of this world. But don't let it ever destroy your faith in God and who He is. Paul said this in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That same divine energy, power from the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, is still with us today, strengthening us so that we can do the will of God, that we may not feel that He's not there, but He's always there for us. Can you imagine? I think of that scripture, and I'm thinking, Paul wrote that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He can do all things that God calls him to do. Because God will strengthen him. You can do all things that God calls you to do. Because God's job by the Holy Spirit is to strengthen you to do the work that He calls you to do. See, this is a lot of what's happening today in the churches. Man's calling man. And when man calls man, it's man that has to strengthen the man. And God's out of it. But I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit births something in your heart, when the Holy Spirit gives you a vision to do something, and you know it's from God. You prayed about it. You sought God. You've asked God to give you confirmation, and it seemed like it doesn't come, but He still gnaws at your spirit on the inside here, and you know it's the Spirit of the Lord. When God calls you to do something, God will strengthen His servants to get the job done. So you see, it's not the responsibility of the one that is called, it's the responsibility of the one who called them. That lays the responsibility of me and you off. See, I can't call anybody into ministry. And I don't want to call anybody into ministry. I think it's the greatest job, though. The souls of God's people. But it's God's job to call pastors and preachers and teachers and laymen to do these things. It's God's job. And when He does it, you can stand and say, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And we can also say, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Not good. I'll just finish with this. Each situation that we go through gives us a chance to learn a very valuable spiritual lesson, and number two, to grow into maturity. Everything we go through, everything you grow through, both a great spiritual lesson and to grow into maturity. I know sometimes we think, Lord, you can choose somebody else, but they're better qualified. They can do it better. But God, when God chooses, He chooses. And He knows who to put in certain places. God has chosen you for your home. What an awesome responsibility to be the light in your home. I know some of you, your families aren't saved. I know that in the home. But you have the awesome responsibility of being a light to that spouse or children or whoever is there. You have the awesome responsibility of being a light at your job. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know the mistakes I've made. Hey, welcome to the crowd. All mistakes, but I tell you what, bring it under the blood. Bring it under the blood. When you know you should have spoken up, you did. That's okay. Bring it under the blood. Better or next time. Next time. Standing up for truth and rejoice. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Everything. No matter what. And you may stand, please. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, for to me to live in Christ and to die is gain. Can you imagine? For me to live or to die is to gain. That's how we need to look at it. If we live, we preach the gospel. We gain. If we die, we go with Christ. We gain. Amen. 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 God is good. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for you for your anointing and your power and your strength upon this church. Lord God, show us things. Be with the people. Be with the people. Help them and encourage them. As every head is bowed, just for a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? If you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior, or maybe you have and you say, well, I need to rededicate my life to him, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Father, I thank you that everyone in here is right with you. That your presence and your power is resting upon this church. Be with us and help us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, help us on the jobs, help us at home, Lord, and encourage your church. We give you praise and honor and thanks, and we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you, and we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you.